so glad you died for me. I'm so glad you shed your blood for me. I'm so glad you rose for me. Sweet Jesus, Jesus, sweet Jesus, Jesus, I'm so glad you died for me. So glad you shed your blood just for me. So glad you rose for me. Yes, Jesus, sweet Jesus, yes, Jesus, help me sing, Jesus. Jesus, the precious name of Jesus, how he loved me, I won't ever know. Jesus, how he loved me, how he loved me so. The name, the name, the name, Jesus. It's so sweet, I know, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, I love the name. What you did for me on Calvary, no man could have done. How you hung, bled, and died. You did it just for me. No other man could do it for me. Jesus. Buddha couldn't do it for me. Confucius couldn't do it for me. He's God all by himself. Jesus. The precious name of Jesus, to hung, bled, and died. Jesus, but you rose one Sunday morning for me. Jesus, you got up, you got up, you got up, you got up. Power in your head. He takes care of all of your problems. Jesus, He heals your body. Jesus, call on the name of Jesus, the powerful name of Jesus.
Powerful name. It's a powerful name. It's a wonderful name. It's a glorious name. I tell you what I love about it most of all. It's a 24-hour name. I don't need an appointment to talk to Jesus. I don't need to call and get in line and wait for the next available operator to talk to me to talk to Jesus. I can just show up unannounced and have a conversation with Jesus. It doesn't matter if it's 6 a.m. in the morning or whether it's 1 a.m. or 12 midnight, in the middle of the day, anytime that I call the name of Jesus, He's right there listening and ready to answer my prayers. If you had an experience where you called on Jesus and Jesus heard your cry and answered your prayer, why don't you give Him some glory on this morning? Why don't you just stand up and say, thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah.
Just call him. Say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Call His name, Jesus. In the midnight hour, you can call on Jesus. Call His name. He'll come to your rescue. You just call His name. Just call His name. Call His name, Jesus.
Jesus. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, we now call on your name. We ask you to prepare our hearts and minds to be fertile ground to receive your word. Use me as you will, Lord, that you be glorified and that lives be positively changed by the power that's in your name and the power that's in your word. It's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Giving honor to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity of Jehovah God, to the deacons and trustees and auxiliary heads and members of Roanoke Salem, to those of you who are visiting again, welcome to my sisters in Christ who are here with me on today. We welcome you one and all in the name of Jesus Christ. we're going to turn to the 23rd Psalm, a very, very, very passage of scripture for, I'm sure, pretty much all of us in here, the 23rd Psalm. But we're only going to look at one verse. Psalm 23, verse number 4. Psalm 23, verse number 4. Well, technology is working. I'm going to see you at the service. Psalm 23, verse number 4. Respect, now let me just share this for those who don't know. At Roanoke Salem, we don't stand. But if you're from a house of the Lord where people do stand, please feel comfortable to do that. We don't stand at Roanoke Salem, but I promise you, we're not going to fall out behind that. Amen? Psalm 23, verse number 4. I'm reading this from the New International. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Church family and visiting friends, and we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, if you're saved, for just a few minutes, let us reason together from this thought, a peaceful walk through Death Valley. A peaceful walk through Death Valley. If I didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that same Jesus this choir just sang about, got us all stirred up, and as well it should. If I didn't have a relationship with that Jesus, I'd probably be living in constant fear. And some of us probably would be the same way too. Amen now. Because you think about this world that we live in right today. Every day, every single day, we read about anger, hatred, and violence. Or we hear about anger, hatred, and violence. Or we cut on our TVs, or we use our smart devices, we go online on the internet, and we see videos of people engaging in anger, hatred, and violence. And it's especially disturbing. It's especially disturbing. It makes you mad when some of our so-called political leaders are the people encouraging, or they're applauding anger, hatred, and violence. Amen. But it's all around us. And I'm not just blaming our political leaders, but a lot of them are guilty, from the White House down to the courthouse. Some of them are guilty too, but it's not just them. Because every day all over this world, people just like you and me, are committing acts of anger, hatred, and violence. And you know what? What's really scary? People are doing stuff, and they seem to have no conscience about what they're doing. They don't seem to have any concern. People will take you out just like they take their next breath. Amen. Amen. We as human beings, we are hurting, and we are harming, and we are killing each other at a mind-blowing rate. It's like we're really not safe anywhere we go. Amen. You ever feel like that? We're not safe anywhere. We're not safe in our schools. Amen. We know that. We're not safe in a store. Amen. We're not safe in our homes. Haven't been safe in our homes for years. We're not even safe in the places where we worship. We're not even safe in the sanctuary of the Most High God. That's how it feels. There's so much violence and dying. It seems to me that this entire world has become one huge death valley. Our entire world seems like it's just one huge death valley. Why? Because there's death everywhere you go. But no matter how much anger, no matter how much hatred, no matter how much violence comes into this world, Jesus Christ is still the Son of God. And he's still the Prince of Peace. Jesus has all the power that he needs to preserve us and to protect us. When we trust Jesus and we do our best to obey him, he will give us peace of mind no matter where we go. You can go out in Death Valley. You can go out with a peace of mind. Why? Because Jesus is with you. Amen. There's a hedge of protection that's around every believer. We know that because God had to remove his hedge of protection from Job before the devil could mess with him. That's around every one of us. Amen. But let me give you something from the Bible. I know what I just said is right because in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, Isaiah the prophet said that if we keep our minds on Jesus, he will keep us in perfect peace. Psalm 4, verse 8, David wrote, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you, Lord, you make me dwell safely. So no matter how much anger, hatred, and violence is in this world, no matter how unsafe we may feel, if you are a child of the Most High God, you can go out. Anywhere you go, you can stay in peace because God is with you. Amen. I'd rather be saved and know Jesus than to be smart. I'd rather be faithful to Jesus than to be famous. Look, I'd rather be liked by Jesus than loved by the sinners of this world. Amen. Amen. Let's turn our attention then to David here in this 23rd Psalm. Most of us know that long before David became the king of Israel, God had made him, he was a shepherd boy taking care of his daddy's sheep back on the hills. And the thing I find so fascinating about David is that even when he was a young boy, he had already developed his own relationship with God. Amen. As a little boy, David had his own relationship with God. It wasn't because his daddy believed in God. See, David's relationship had become personal. And all of us need to have our own personal relationship with God. You can't get to heaven on Big Mama's prayers. You can't get to heaven because T.D. Jakes is your favorite pastor. You can't get to heaven because you're a member of Roanoke Salem Missionary Baptist Church. You can only get to heaven if you've given your life to Jesus Christ and asked him to be your Lord and Savior. So here's David as a little boy. He already had his own relationship with the Lord, and I know that's right because in Psalm 23, the first verse, David starts out by saying, the Lord is my shepherd, not my daddy's shepherd. Not my brother's shepherd. Not the prophet Samuel's shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a personal thing. And all of us need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. We know we're living in turbulent times, but in this fourth verse of the 23rd Psalm, I find 3 points in this one verse alone. There are 3 points I believe should give us hope and encouragement to every one of us who are followers of Jesus Christ. We can walk through this Death Valley world in peace if we know Jesus. David says, even though I walk through the valley, listen, of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. So I need to acknowledge right away that according to David, he was just passing through the shadow of death. Amen. In this case, he wasn't in immediate danger, but David knew that there was danger all around him. Yeah, as he was walking through it, in this case, it wasn't that he was in immediate danger, but there was danger all around him because death had cast a shadow that was covering the valley where David was walking. And let me say this, David knew something about immediate danger because long before he wrote this psalm, David told us about the time that a bear came to take one of his daddy's sheep. And he told us about the time that a lion came to take one of his daddy's sheep. And how he, as a little shepherd boy, maybe somewhere between 12 to 15 years old, went after the lion and went after the bear, went after the wolves, went after other kind of predators, and got the sheep back. So David knew something about being in immediate danger. Now, I don't know in this case if David intended that word valley to represent a real place or if David used the word valley to represent a series of dangerous events in his life. But here's the thing. Whatever he intended, with these words, David tells us that sometimes he found himself in deadly situations, just like sometimes we find ourselves in deadly situations. Let's continue. Let's continue with verse 4. So he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, then he says, I fear no evil. Let me get to point number one. Point number one, walk in faith, not fear. Walk in faith, not fear. Listen, our peace of mind that we get as we walk through this death valley world, our peace of mind is a reward for our faith in Jesus. Amen now. Our peace of mind is a reward for our faith in Jesus. How do you know that, Reverend? I know that because Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God, to please Jesus. Okay. It also says in Hebrews 11:6, that in order to please Jesus, listen, we must believe that he is real and that he what? He rewards people who sincerely seek him. Faith in Jesus cancels out our fear. Faith in Jesus cancels out our fear. So point number one is walk in faith and not in fear. The anger, the hatred, the violence that's in this death valley world, it's the work of the devil and it's the work of evil people. Amen now. It's the work of the devil who's always trying to take us out. He hates us because God loves us. But it's also because of evil folks. Some folk are just mean, y'all. Some folk just mean. I don't care what you say. Some people just mean. I'm not saying they were born mean. And let's be fair to them. A lot of times people get how they are because of what? The experiences in their lives. So at the point you and I meet them, they might be mean, but maybe they weren't always that way. But the bottom line is they're just some mean folk in this world. So that's why we have all this anger and hatred and violence. The devil, who is evil himself, and then evil folks. Some folks are just mean. But listen, 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God has not what? He has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Your faith cancels out your fear. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. A steady mind, a reasonable mind. Amen now. So point number one again is, as we walk through this death valley world, walk in faith, not fear. Let's keep reading. David says he fears no evil because God is with him. In other words, David is not afraid as he walks through the shadow of Death Valley because he knows that God is walking with him. That brings us to point number two. Walk with confidence in Jesus. Walk with confidence in Jesus. It doesn't matter how brave you may be. And some of us are very brave. Some of y'all a whole lot braver than me. Because some stuff some of y'all like to do, you couldn't put a gun in my head and make me do. Yeah. So yeah, some of y'all are brave. It doesn't matter how strong you are. Amen. But no matter how brave or strong you are, none of us can walk through this death valley world by ourselves. Amen. Can't do it by ourselves. You might go a little ways, but there's going to be something along the way that's going to stop you, make you back up, or make you want to turn around and run. Now, I promise you that. None of us can walk through this death valley world by ourselves. We can't depend on family. We can't depend on friends. Why? Because they're just like us. Yeah, they might have some qualities and characteristics that they're a little more bolder than we are, but at the end of the day, sooner or later, they're going to run into something too. Amen. But when Jesus Christ is walking with us, we have confidence that he will stay with us wherever we go. When Jesus Christ is walking with me, I can have confidence that Jesus is going to stay with me wherever I go. Where's your proof of that? My proof is from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9. God said to Joshua, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged." Listen now, here's my proof of my point. "For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." The Lord your God will be with us. Jesus is with us wherever we go. As we walk with Jesus, unlike you and me, Jesus is not going to get hungry and need to stop at Burger King. Amen. Amen. Jesus is not going to get thirsty and want to go by 7-Eleven and get him a big gulp. or a big 32-ounce bottle of water or something. Jesus is not going to get tired and want to stop right in his tracks and say, well, you know what? You go ahead. I'll catch up with you later. Jesus is not going to do that. Jesus is not going to get sleepy and need to go home and take a nap and say, I'll catch up with you tomorrow. Yeah, Jesus is not going to do any of that. Wherever I go, wherever you go, Jesus will be right there with us. Here's the last part of verse number 4. So David has said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Then he gets to this last part. Why, David, why don't you fear any evil? He said, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. As a shepherd boy, David used a rod and a staff to help take care of the sheep. He used the rod, which is just a long, heavy stick. He used the rod for protection. You know, if something came after the sheep, he'd pop them with it. But he also used it for correction. Because when the sheep got out of line, David would pop them too. Amen. So the rod was for protection and correction. Then the staff was used to reunite. In other words, sometimes the staff was a long stick, but it had like a curve at the end of it. Not a full curve, but just like a half moon or something, like a C at the end of it. So that was the staff. Well, sometimes the sheep would go astray. And David would, you know, just reach out with the staff and hook it on them and just pull them on back with the rest of the herd. The other thing he used the staff for was for rescue. Amen. Every once in a while, sheep being wayward the way that we are, you notice I said the way we are, sheep being wayward the way we are, sheep would go off, and before David knew it, you got, you know, 300 or 400 sheep. It's hard to keep your eye on every one all the time. So here goes one stumble off the side of a cliff and maybe gets hung up in the bush, or one stumbles down and falls in a lake bed somewhere. Well, David could use that staff and reach down and hook it up under them and lift it and pull them back out. So the staff was used for both to reunite and to rescue. And that's the same thing God does with us. He has a spiritual rod that he uses to protect us. But he also corrects us when he needs to. Now, you better be glad about that, because the Bible says the only folks he corrects are those that he loves. So if you claim to be a Christian and you know you cutting up, whatever it is, and you don't ever feel the chastisement of the Lord, you don't ever feel the Holy Spirit chastising you, or the Lord doesn't do some things to get your attention, you better check your salvation. Amen. That's not my opinion. That's the word. The word clearly says God chastises when he needs to those that he loves. If he ain't chastising you, either you walking well most of the time, amen, or you ain't saved like you think you are. Amen now, because the Bible says all of us have sinned. Don't mean we have to live in sin, but when we step out of line, God will chastise us. Amen. Amen. So when it's necessary, that's what he does. He uses his divine rod to protect us, and sometimes he protects us from anger, hatred, and violence. We don't know how many times God supernaturally kept us out of a situation where somebody was going to do something crazy, and we might have ended up hurt or killed. And God supernaturally stepped in and gave us some protection. Amen. Amen. And then he also uses his rod to, like I said, to reconcile, reunite, and to rescue us. That's what he did on Calvary's cross. He rescued us. He reconciled us. He reunited us with himself. According to Webster's Dictionary, the word comfort has several meanings, but for Psalm 23, comfort means to give strength and hope to. The way it's used in the 23rd Psalm, that word comfort means to give strength and hope to. Here's the final point, point number 3. Walk in the comfort of the Lord. Walk in the comfort of the Lord. When Jesus Christ walks with us through this Death Valley world, his presence should bring us great comfort. Amen now. Amen. In other words, our relationship with Jesus gives us strength and it gives us hope to keep walking every day we live. Got a bad doctor's report, but you got Jesus. You should be encouraged, because he's going to give you the strength and the hope to keep going. Got a financial situation. Need another job. Need a job. Need more money on your job. But you got Jesus. He's going to give you strength and hope to keep looking for that new opportunity. And when the timing is just right, he'll open the door. He may send you to another job. He may just give you an increase of promotion on your job. But whatever your need is, as long as you're walking with Jesus, you'll have strength and hope to keep it moving. Amen. 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 Now, we may have to cry sometimes, but we keep walking with Jesus. We may have to slow down sometimes, but we keep walking with Jesus. We may not always see where we're going. Didn't the Lord tell Abraham, just get up and go? I ain't telling you where you're going. Just start walking. When you get there, I say you're there. We may not always know where we're going, but we just keep walking with Jesus. All we have to do, church family, like the song says, is hold on to God's unchanging hand, and God will get us where we need to be. To God be the glory. My sisters and brothers in Christ, I encourage you today, don't be afraid or discouraged by the anger, hatred, and violence in this Death Valley world, because we got to walk through it like everybody else. There's no getting around it. When you stop walking through this Death Valley world, that means it's over. Yeah, the day you stop walking, and walking means just living. The day you stop living in this world, it's over. It's over. So we got to go through it just like everybody else. But when we walk, because we know Jesus, because we have a daily relationship with him, when we walk, we can walk in peace. When we can walk in faith. When we can walk in confidence. When we can walk in comfort. Because Jesus Christ will safely guide us until the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. I wish I could sing, I'd sing it. But since I can't, I ain't gonna run y'all out of here that way. We know we can depend on Jesus because in order to save our souls, he had to go through his own Death Valley experience. Oh, yeah. He had to go through his own Death Valley experience, and he knew he was going through it. Jesus came here to go through it, but he did it anyway. Because he saw everybody sitting in this congregation when he was up on that cross. His Death Valley experience was on a Friday when he pulled a cross, 300-pound cross, up Golgotha's rugged hill. Now, that was after they had beat the man to death. You and I couldn't have survived the beating they put on Jesus. But he kept on walking. He kept on walking. He kept on walking through his Death Valley experience. He let him put him on that cross, put nails in his hand, nails in his feet, but he kept on in his mind walking through his Death Valley experience, thinking about you and me. They pierced him in his side. Out came his blood and his water that saves our souls, that washes away the stains of our sins. In his spiritual mind, he was still walking through his Death Valley experience because he wanted us to be saved. They didn't take Jesus' life. He gave it up himself. The Bible says he dropped his head on his shoulder and said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. They didn't kill Jesus. Jesus left here so he could come back for us one day. Put him in a borrowed tomb, still in his Death Valley experience. Stayed there the rest of Friday. Stayed there all day Saturday. Stayed there all day Saturday night. But the Bible tells me that early on Sunday morning, my Bible says, hallelujah, on a Sunday morning, Jesus' Death Valley experience was over. Why? Because he got up. He got up. He finished his Death Valley experience. And he got up with all power. The power he uses to keep you and keep me as we walk through this Death Valley world. Give the Lord some praise.